Fantastic. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Roddy DeBolsey. I'm joined by Dane Young, Jake Roos, and Jim Donnan, the former Georgia Bulldogs head coach, Hall of Famer, and all-around great person to watch a game with. Be sure to check out the watch-along. I was in Jacksonville this past Saturday. I had my headphones in. I'm watching the game in front of me and listening to the watch-along. Had it, you know, on my laptop in the corner there. And it's funny, I was getting more information about the game from the watch-along that I was sitting in the freaking stadium. So, and then I tweet out stuff like Georgia really needs to maybe look at the zone concept here, because I just completely stole what Coach Donna was saying and made it sound like it was my own. I looked so smart, so smart. So you be sure to watch Coach Donna too. I'm coming live from Champions. Everybody else is at their house. Excuse me, I'm live from Classic City Eats, and the place just smells fantastic because they're frying chicken here, and we thank them for putting up with us. We thank you for watching, and we got a lot to talk about this week. Tough loss for Georgia. Not just losing to Florida, which is bad enough, but we lost a lot of football players. We lost a lot of guys that were injured. The injuries from the Kentucky game built up into Florida. Then Florida lost more guys. When Kirby Smart was asked yesterday about the injury report, he couldn't remember everybody. I mean, that's how long the injury report is. So a lot of guys were banged up. And I guess before we move on to Missouri and how many guys those guys will be available, I want to go straight to Coach Donnan. Coach, I know a lot of fans are really upset with how that game played out. Georgia left it a lot of points on the ground. They just couldn't throw and catch. You know, I thought there were chances there. I know it feels like a blowout, but, you know, you were down two scores with 5 minutes left. You dropped a pick six, and you missed a wide-open receiver. It seems to me like I don't know that Florida beat Georgia as badly as Georgia beat themselves. Give us your thoughts, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, you can reflect back on a lot of things. Hey, we were up 14-0, then they outscored our defense 38-7. So, in the meantime, our defense didn't do anything between the second quarter and the middle of the third quarter, but they did do a great job in the second half. I thought Florida really kind of sat on it too. But, you know, I told the watch-along people as soon as I saw that shot on I've had quarterbacks get hit before, when I saw the way Bennett was reacting with his arm, and it was going to be hard. And based on the fact that he went in and got it looked at and still tried to play, he just wasn't efficient. And then Dwan came in and he tried hard. But, you know, the pressure of hitting those guys is just something we didn't respond to. But, you know, I will say this about our team, though. We got a lot of pride, still got a lot to work for, even though we're more than likely might not be in the championship game, but this was a rebuilding year on offense, and we rebuilt pretty quickly and had a chance against Alabama, had a chance against Florida. But we'll talk more about the quarterback situation here in a minute. But overall, just a really poor performance standpoint, busted coverages, missed assignments, guys not being able to make the tackles in space when you had a chance. And then offensively, like you mentioned, you got guys open, but you got to pick out who you throw to too. We didn't throw the ball enough to Jackson. We threw the ball to Burton and Landers, who have not had a good catch ratio too. So we got to find a way to get the ball to our best players. And we didn't run the ball enough with White. He only touched the ball 7 times in a game like this, which is inexplicable really to me.
Dane, when you went back and did the film Don't Lie, you guys showed a lot of just missed opportunities. You showed some just inexplicable. Like Coach says, you know, why didn't hand the ball off more? Why didn't you use James Cook more? Why didn't you feed Zamir White? I mean, one touch, 75 yards, and then they get away from that. To me, some of it's inexplicable. At the same time, you know, I saw you guys point out on the watch-along show that – there are times that Georgia's facing an 8-man box because Florida said, look, we don't think you can throw and catch. Give me your thoughts when you broke down the film.
I think that there's an obvious attempt for Kirby Smart and Todd Monken to establish a vertical passing game. And I think that's for obvious reasons. Georgia struggled with that largely and consistently for going on 2 years now. And because of that, I think Georgia knows that it's got to get better in that facet of the game. And those plays were there. The receivers were open. The passes just were not accurate. And maybe in one case, you could argue Demetrius Robertson could have done a little bit more for Dwan Mathis. But even then, I wouldn't say that that was 100% a great throw. There's a couple opportunities those should have been catches. The only issue with it, because I like having a vertical passing game, and maybe you have to know your roster and know what these quarterbacks are capable of and all that good stuff. But at the same time, we've seen that week after week now for Stetson Bennett, where he's so focused on that vertical passing game, where he's so focused on a read that he sees, he's missing wide open, easy stuff. Kirby Smart called it layups, right? James Cook coming wide open in the flat is always going to be a victory for Georgia, and you cannot miss those things, especially against a team like Florida. And one of those was on the deep throw to Matt Landers, which, yeah, that's early in the second quarter. That was still a ball game at that point. And if Georgia establishes some kind of drive, gets a few first downs, who knows what opens up with that front seven? Can Florida keep stacking the box like they are? Does that allow for Zamir White to get more carries? It all just compounded. And if you get a couple of those easy ones, maybe it doesn't.
That makes sense. Jake, a lot of people said, well, Florida's obviously caught Georgia now. They won on the field. They've got the players now. They've got the coaches. I'm not trying to be biased, but I did not get that feel. I didn't feel like that defense that Georgia was facing could have stood up to a Jake Fromm in the backfield, you know, with DeAndre Swift back there. Jake Fromm went 3-0 against him. George Pickens is out. I remember how Riley Ridley attacked Florida, how Lawrence Cager attacked Florida, when they had their number one wide receiver. And, first big touchdown or second big touchdown of the game, you lose your backup quarterback or your quarterback who was the backup last year. You lose him to an injury. And then you lose your true freshman wide receiver who's, scores his first game. I just think that there was more talent on the field on the Georgia side that couldn't execute than there was Florida talent that out-executed you. Am I being biased or looking through rose-colored glasses? Give me your take as our recruiting expert.
I'd say there's a little bit of bias there just because if Georgia's up to full strength personally, I think that it is kind of an equal playing field. Georgia was definitely not, and so I do think Florida had a little bit of an advantage there. I'm not saying this is a world-beating defense that they've got put together, but it's certainly enough to contain what we've seen out of Georgia's offense for the last, 10 quarters, I guess. So, I think that they're capable of stopping a guy like Stetson Bennett. As Coach said, and this was – what I wrote in my prediction, if Georgia goes away from the run, then that totally changes everything. Suddenly you're opening up a lot. I think Georgia still had the talent up front and the guys in the backfield in order to establish that running game and play keep away from Kyle Trask a little bit longer than they did, rather than try to go to the air, like Dane said. So I didn't understand that decision-making. I was flummoxed, to use a good word. Are they catching up? Yeah, I think Florida's closing the talent gap. I don't know that they're there yet, but it'll be interesting to see what the fallout from this game is. Georgia's already lost one recruit. Now, given it was 2023 recruit, Trayon Webb out of Jacksonville's Trinity Christian. He's got the Gators in the mix as well, so not too big of a surprise. I mean, I always tell people, take those guys that are 2-3 years out with a grain of salt anyway when they commit. But, there's going to be, some guys, I think, looking around and saying, well, which of these offenses is more explosive? Which of these can I fit into better? I think you've got to give Florida the edge there if you're a guy who's considering, how to forward your career the best. Georgia sputtered in that regard. Florida able to score from anywhere on the field. So it'll be interesting to see how that ends up playing out with this year's class as well.
Coach, I'm going to go to you real quick and ask you about the quarterback situation because I know that's what everybody was talking about. Before we do, I want to mention our friends over at Athens Ford who have taken such good care of us over the years. They've been sponsoring this podcast forever. I know there were some broken hearts over at Athens Ford, in between them selling truck after truck after truck after truck after truck after Explorer, after SUV, after sedan. They move a ton of vehicles over there. The number one Ford certified pre-owned dealer in the state of Georgia. And they have some ridiculous holiday deals. And I just want to mention a couple of them real quick for folks that may be thinking about getting a new car. It's the Built for the Holiday sales event. They have 0% financing for 60 months on the Ford Fusion. 2024 Fusion, or you can get $8,000 off. You know, if you want a 2024 Explorer, you can get 0% APR financing for 72 months for qualified buyers, or $10,000 off. If you want one of those expeditions, one of the really big ones, 0% financing for 72 months, 6 years of 0%, or $15,000 off. So just some fantastic deals over there. Plus, they do great charity work. So if you, every vehicle you buy in Athens Ford is going to, they're going to do something very special for the kids in the community. They do it every year. So be sure to, if you're thinking, hey, I need a new vehicle, or I need a pre-owned vehicle, you know, I need a new ride, or I'm going to trade one in, be sure you check out our friends at Athens Ford, because they take such good care of us, and they take good care of this community. So, I mean, even if you're not a Georgia fan, you should be taking care. You should be going out there, because, you know, they give back. A lot of places don't. Athens Ford absolutely does, and they stand behind. They're part of the community. They stand behind it. So you just don't get that everywhere you go. Coach, I know we talked about some of the long passes that were missed, some of the decisions that were made, like checkdowns that were missed. I know. I listening to you on the watch along, I heard a couple, oh, come on. You were just so frustrated being a coach, being a former quarterback. Stetson Bennett gets injured. He can't hit his targets. Juwan Mathis comes in. He can't hit his. I know you're pulling your hair out. Kind of break down the quarterback situation from Friday, I mean, from this past Saturday, and what we might see going forward.
I think one thing would have helped us if Fitzpatrick had caught that one when we came back in there and the game was really still in tow. We were ahead. That's a big play. You can at least get a field goal out of that. But after that, you know, we didn't hit – we threw one ball first pass of the second half. He hit Burton on an out route, and that was the last completion he had. But just real quickly, going back to the quarterback situation, because you can rehash it any way you want to, but I'm going to tell you from a coaching standpoint and a guy that's around the program and has seen some things happen here. Jamie Newman was the quarterback during fall camp, you know, getting the number one reps, trying to establish who the number two guy. At that point, Daniels hadn't even been cleared, so we didn't really know about anything he could do except how he would throw against air. Zero mobility, couldn't do anything. I mean, you had to protect the kid. He had second surgery, so you got to get your team ready. So you're looking at Dwan as the guy to be the guy, and you knew Stetson could do it. Well, Dwan didn't do it. Stetson came in and did. He beat two teams that were ranked in the top 15 when he beat them. The best secondary in the country, supposedly in SEC, Auburn, he torched with Pickens, with the best supporting cast he could have. But since that point, Daniels has been cleared after the Arkansas game. He started moving up. He worked on a scout team. He worked his ass off. He's done a lot of good things. These other two guys really hadn't asserted himself. I think now he's at the point mobility-wise that he's not a threat to hurt his knee because he's just standing there. Maybe he can move around a little bit. But he does have an arm, and he's going to go against some teams. He should be able to effectively – called the game at the line. So I'm sure he's going to get some kind of shot this week. I don't know how much, at least in practice. But everybody asking, why didn't you play him early? How could you play the guy? I mean, he didn't have anything to go by. He didn't practice hardly against anything except the air. So now, and anybody says, well, Kirby's going to look bad. How's he going to look bad? I mean, the guy quit on him. The other quarterback that he went with didn't do that great. Another kid came in who did all he could. And our defense has played horseshit in two big games, any way you look at it. So Kirby can't worry about what everybody else says. I'm not worried about it either, except I hope Daniels looks good, and I hope everybody feels good about him. I hope that Bennett could come back from this injury and give us a chance, because he would flourish against these teams we're getting ready to go against if Pickens is out there. Without Pickens, we're very limited. We don't have anybody one-on-one on the backside. We had Roseme. He's starting to develop, and he looked good. But yeah, now we don't have him. So, you know, everybody thinks about, well, you can just snap your fingers and make things happen. And I'm not defending anybody. I'm just realistic. I'm a coach who got fired because I didn't play some younger players because I was building for the future and trying to keep – you know, David Green and redshirt him and all that. So you know, you got to do what you got to do, and that's the way it is. And going down the road here, I feel good about our morale. I mean, people are saying, well, you know, what do we got to play for? We got a lot to play for. How many teams can be 8-2 in a COVID-like situation where you don't have spring practice, where you don't have fall camp? So I'm not painting any lipstick on a pig here, but I think Daniels can throw the ball effectively. That the passes we missed Saturday with a guy with an AC sprain and a young quarterback that hadn't played a lot, I think he can hit those balls.
No, I think it's fair. And I think it was last week I was accused of defending Kirby Smart. And I'm like, look, I don't have a dog in the fight. You know, everybody's mad at Kirby. Doesn't matter to me. If everybody's happy with Kirby, doesn't matter to me. It doesn't affect how we do our job. We try to cover the team as they are, and we try to provide analysis and opinion based on what we see. And people said, well, Kirby should have a solution for the quarterback situation. Well, let's see. He could have had Jake Fromm out there. Fromm decided to leave. He brought in Jamie Newman. Jamie Newman gets all after that first scrimmage, he gets all the number one snaps. He's your starter. He decided to leave. The guy they brought in when you lost Justin Fields, they went out and got another quarterback. He had brain surgery. He brought back Stetson Bennett as a backup. He was your number two backup all last year. You know, he got hurt in the game. He brought in Carson Beck. He's a true freshman. You know, he brought in JT Daniels. Oh, yeah, he's not ready. He had an ACL injury. And so I don't know the – just demanding over and over again that Kirby have an answer without taking into consideration the answers that he had that fell by the wayside, I just think it's unfair. Am I making excuses again, Dane?
I think there's probably a guy that you forgot on that list a little bit, but I don't know if he fit with Georgia's offense, so that may have been the issue. But John Rice Plumlee would have probably been really nice to have in Athens right now. And he was committed to Georgia for a long time, and there was a situation with a blue shirt or whatever that may end up being. I know he wanted to play baseball too. And I also don't know if he would fit with what Georgia does. So it could have been the same situation. All I'm saying is yeah, there's a lot of things that have happened with this. And I think if anything, what the game against Florida proved is Kirby Smart was actually probably a bit more right than what people want to say, because everyone's saying, why is Stetson still playing? And then you saw Dwan Mathis come in and be pretty ineffective with the offense. Now, Dwan did win it straight out of camp, but, you know, after a couple of drops against Arkansas, he got pulled too. And that's not to say Dwan can't be a good player one day, but Kirby Smart sees these quarterbacks in practice all the time. And so if Kirby Smart's going to say JT Daniels is not ready to play in the bright lights of the SEC, whether that's for injury or whether that's he's being reckless with the football or just that he's got some, you know, growing pains he's got to go through, I'm going to tend to believe that because he's seeing him in practice more than I am, for sure.
Yeah,
let's just clear this up, though, and you made a good point. The guy was not able to physically play during fall camp. He could go out there when everything was controlled and learned the reps and throw the ball, but he was not even cleared till after the Arkansas game. What does that mean? He was not cleared to go full speed in practice. He was not cleared to do anything. His knee was a walking time bomb from a chance of hurting it again. So they protected the kid, which I, as a parent, as a coach, as a fan, I would hope the fans would realize that. So once he got ready, our team was already established. We'd already won a game against Arkansas. We'd already had a quarterback come in. We were playing a team ranked number 8 in the country. You're not going to throw that guy in there then. You've already established that Dwan's a backup because he won the job. So this kid's worked his way the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's worked on the scout team. We've seen what he can do. I haven't. We've seen what he can do down there. And Kirby says, hey, we're going to give him a shot now because things aren't working good because Stetson got hurt, plus we lost. So that's the guy wasn't ready to play.
See, that's where I think the confusion comes in, Coach.
And, he couldn't play.
Well, when Kirby said after the Arkansas game, heading in again to Auburn, I think he led off his press conference with JT Daniels is clear. So we're like, okay, well, then he's ready to go. Now, that, as you point out, okay, he's cleared. He can now practice. He can now move around at the same speed as everybody else. But he's probably 3 or 4 weeks behind all the other guys who were able to do that stuff. But in my head and the heads of a lot of fans, you hear he's cleared. That means you can have a true quarterback competition. Again, maybe you don't start him against Auburn. or maybe you don't throw them out there against Tennessee, but when you have the problems that you did at Alabama and then with Kentucky, you know, you're like, okay, maybe we need to go to another option.
Well, but let me just say this. We didn't have the problems against Alabama to the second half.
I don't know, but again, after that, you know, it's like, okay.
When we played Kentucky without Pickens and we won the game, he had a couple turnovers, sure. But I'm not defending Stetson except from the standpoint I am defending that he did what he was supposed to do as far as getting the wins for us. Now going forward with his arm like it is, you got to give this other kid a shot now that he's established himself. But how can you take a guy that's third team and move him up ahead of a guy that won the job in fall camp and another guy that's been here for 2 years that you know what's going to do and you're playing Auburn that week? You just can't do that.
Yeah, but, Coach, people don't care about that. They're like, wait, if he's the better quarterback, it doesn't matter that he won the job 2 weeks ago. Kirby says he practice every day. I mean, there's a
argument. The argument I've heard against this is what you saw from Clemson with Kelly Bryant and them deciding to move on from him. Whether or not he was an established guy and won the job, people said, you know, they made the hard decision to go to the younger, more talented guy.
They did for sure, but they watched Trevor Lawrence practice for 4 weeks. They watched him play in the games. He did all that. We had no film, nothing. This guy live bullets to base it on. We had nothing.
But that helps, Coach, because, again, when we're told week two, this guy's cleared, Kirby doesn't say, but we haven't seen him take any throws against a real defense. He's been throwing against air up till this point. Now he's got some time. He's got to work his way up. And so week two, week three, week four, week five, all we're hearing is that this kid is healthy, but he's not as good as the other guys because he can't win the job.
I never heard him say he wasn't as good as the other guys.
That is true. But we've asked point blank, what does this kid need to do to get better? And Kirby said, well, he has some knee ailments, but he's fine. He's not in the brace. He's just, you know, he's ready to go just like anybody else. But we feel the other two guys give us a better chance to win.
Based on that, that's all he can say. And if that's what he thought, that's what he's got to do.
But the people question, they're like, well, if this kid's more talented than those two, why do the other two give you a better chance to win, especially when they roll out there and have a performance like they did against Florida, you know, or the second half against – you know, the two interceptions against Kentucky, or the second half against Alabama. It's like, if these two are better than the guy you have over there, then how bad is he? I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying the transitive property of these two are not really tearing it up. This kid, Kirby says, they are give you a better chance to win than this guy.
Maybe
he's cleared to play. Then he by their you know A equals B, B equals C, then A equals C. Then therefore he's not as good as those two. That's just the way the logic works.
I think the limitation on his leg usurps everything.
No, I agree.
Take care of everything.
But when Kirby says he doesn't have any limitations, that's not what we hear.
What you hear from who?
From Kirby, when he says, oh, he's fine. His knee's not a problem.
It's not now, but it was when he was trying to win the job.
Right. But see, again, we don't factor in that part. We're like,
you don't throw the guy. You don't throw the job. We've been in under the bus because of the fact that this guy's starting to make his move. Now that Stetson can't play, I don't know. I don't really know. I'm not fair to myself or to anybody to be on this show. You probably need to get somebody beside me that
knows what football. Look, you give us information we don't get.
Because anything I say looks like I'm defending Kirby. I am defending him, but I am saying the kid wasn't physically ready to play to win the job. Now he's physically ready. He's been ready the last couple of weeks because of the circumstances that were involved in the job. It was hard to move him ahead of the other two. Now let's see him move up, and hopefully he can do it and be all world.
Coach, all right, I got a question for you here from the board that I think kind of fits in well here. And I think goes into this whole discussion pretty well. A lot of people have been pointing to quarterback. And as you mentioned, you know, there have been some lapses in defense as well. I mean, some limitations at wide receiver. Jay Cheek 85 on the board says, please ask Coach how much of our issues are just at quarterback. If you put an above average quarterback on this team, even with the injuries, would we beat a Florida or Alabama and possibly be in contention? I don't think so, personally.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I want to put one more thing into perspective here, too. When we started this season, I told you that we had some major issues with our offensive line. I said that that was going to be a real sticking point for our team. The guy that started at right tackle has now been replaced by another guy. So it was hard to put a guy back there, even if he was ready to go, that wasn't too mobile. So that's why they went with Dwan and then Stetson. Now our offensive line's a lot more set. The kid's knee's a lot better as far as withstanding the last 3 or 4 weeks of practice. I think he's going to be a lot more viable in this offensive line than he would be when he could have gone in there early. That's my opinion.
That makes you wonder too, right? If the bye week would have stayed as scheduled rather than come 1 week earlier because of the COVID reshuffling, how that would have changed the potential quarterback picture, because a week could be all the difference in the world for a guy like JT Daniels coming back from an injury. So maybe Georgia just got massively unlucky with that too.
That's a good point, but to answer the question that Jake just proposed, I think you can switch out the quarterbacks all you want, but the defense in two big games has absolutely blown it. You know, and again, against Florida, you're missing, what, four starters and a premier backup, you know, in Warren Brinson. You know, having Jordan Davis and Julian Rochester out, then both starting safeties, that's brutal. For the same point, you know, they were there against Alabama and you still gave up, what, 41 points or something or 40-something. I mean, it's just absolutely got – quarterback doesn't play defense. So I think there are more issues than that.
I think that you – I will say, I guess my answer to that question would be, I think you're able to put yourself in a better position against both of those teams with an above average quarterback, a guy who's playing a little bit better under center. You're going to give yourself a better edge than you had, certainly. But
well, you keep drives going, Jake. You you don't turn the ball over maybe three times to Alabama, then your defense isn't on their heels all the time. But at some point, you know, you got to get off the field.
Well, and that's and actually you said that, and that's another question we got was from Kay Leland. He says, is our defense giving up 40 points against Bama and Florida because we're not as good as we'd like them to be? Or is it because they're being left on the field too long?
You only got to be out there three downs. That's all you got to be. It's like the first two series of the game. We were three and out, three and out. The third series, we're getting ready to be three and out. And the guy decided to cut back, which he's never done on a run, and they made a first down, and then it was Katie bar the door. Defensively, we've had some massive issues on our back end because we're counting on the pressure, and we didn't get any pressure against Alabama. We didn't get any pressure against Florida, and you can't play those guys like that. We tried to defend Tony and with double coverage, and they killed us with the backs. So it's just a case of underperforming on defense for sure. Offense not giving them any help by, like they did in the first half against Alabama, and keeping them off the field. That was great. We kept the ball away from them. But anytime a team makes 33 first downs, how could that be the offense's fault?
Yeah, that's 33. Very true.
That's what Alabama made.
I wanted to ask you this, Coach, too, because this is me coming at it from, you know, I watch football, but I don't have the mind or the view that you do. I felt like both of the touchdowns on Tyson Campbell, both the Kyle Pitts touchdown as well as the Trayvon Grimes touchdown, I felt like that was just more of a matter of good catch rather than a kid missing an assignment or doing something incorrectly. I thought that that was just a guy winning over a guy.
That's true, but he's been beaten four times this year on the same play. And you expect for him to knock some of those down. I mean, you got maybe five when you count. But I know two were against Tennessee and two were against Florida. But, you know, he's our best cover guy. Stokes is right there with him too. You know, and then when we do play zone, he looks inside and with his eyes. We're talking about Kirby talking about their eye control. He looks inside and then doesn't see the back coming out. So But the quarterback's going to get most of the – and coaching and the quarterback going to get most of the attention. That's the way it is. But but we look at the grades. Bennett played better against Alabama than most all of our defense did. He certainly did against Florida because he didn't do anything except the one pass. He kept the ball on a keep. But I'm out of the league here about defending anything right now, except what we got to do is Fido. Forget it and drive on. We got to go on with what we got, find a way to win these next four games because we're a beat-up football team. Hopefully Pickens is back. Hopefully Daniels can step in there and do the job. Hopefully some of these linebackers can do better covering backs. Monty Rice has been working on a one-wheel type deal. I talked about my mouth-watering guy last week was going to be N'Kobe Dean. He made 15 tackles. He made 15 tackles, but what happened? He beat 44 to 28.
Yep. That's fair. I think when I was watching reading the film Don't Lie, Coach, is something you mentioned how Georgia's trying to defend Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts, and they started using the backs and just killed you on that. And that has – I thought that Todd Monken called a very good offensive plan. I just think that – I mean, you had receivers who were open, couldn't get them the ball, left points all over the place. When I was reading the film Don't Lie section, Dane, it just – it dawned on me, I'm like, wait a minute. Georgia was trying to force the ball a couple times to wide receivers. Sometimes they're open, sometimes they're not. And you mentioned how it feels like Stetson
Bennett. We're pretty much open.
But yeah, they're trying to go hit the ball downfield. But
wait a minute. I think that's overreacting.
You've got those backs and tight ends as well that you
do. We do. We only had four passes really that we missed when you look at it and break. That's four too many. But here's the deal. Third down, we're 2 out of 13 on third down.
Yeah.
Just get 6 or 7 out of 13, and you got that many more times to run the ball or throw the ball short, okay? Yeah. The last 2 years, we're 20 out of 32 on third down against this team.
Yeah.
Their longest play the last 3 years has been 30 yards. They had more of those in the second quarter than they did in 3 years. Yeah. So – we can talk about what ifs and all that. It all gets down to they just beat the dog shit out of us. That's the only way to say it. We didn't execute.
Well, I think one reason the defense gets a bit more of a pass is just because how college football is shifting beneath our feet, right? Where, like, these elite teams are scoring 40 to 50 points a game. Whatever happened in the Big 12 a decade ago seems like it's happening more throughout the country. Even if you look at Georgia's greatest win in the Kirby Smart era, it's a shootout at the Rose Bowl where Georgia had to score a ton of points. Now, I get that's an overtime game and that adds more, you know, periods to it, whatever. But, like, I think fans look at this and say – if you want to beat Alabama and you want to beat a good Florida team that has a good offense, you're probably going to need to score 40 points. Now, is that always the case? I don't know.
You got to have your players, though. You got to have your quarterback that you brought in. You got to have Pickens. You got to have an established line, all that. I mean, it's just like a whirling dervish of bad things have happened to us. That
I think you're right, Coach. And what we're going to see let's say Daniels gets in against Missouri, and let's say he plays out against Vandy, South Carolina, and who's the other one?
Mississippi State.
Yeah. So, South Carolina. Let's say he gets Pickens back. That's something you haven't had the last two games. Let's say, you know, Warren McClendon locks down that right tackle spot, which he has. I mean, but all of a sudden, it's you don't have the same vagaries that you did against Arkansas. Your offensive line gets better. Your Jermaine Burton stops going up one-handed, it goes up two-handed, starts making catches. All of a sudden, you're facing lesser competition. You get your top receiver back. Your freshman mature. You get a new quarterback in there. New quarterback tears it up, and everyone's like, well, hell, you should have played him against those other teams.
Jermaine Bird, we've thrown the ball to him 28 times this year, and he's caught 10 of them.
Yeah. But so, he'll catch fire the next four games because he's not playing against
the competition. That's 18 times that we've either missed him or he's dropped it. So hopefully he'll do it. But, I mean, Landers, we've thrown it 9 times. He's caught 2.
Yeah, I mean, it's not been good. But I'm thinking all of a sudden the competition gets a lot less tough. And all of a sudden everyone will be like, well, hell, you should have done that. I'm just letting people know, don't read too much into the next four games. Use these next four games as – these would have been the games that you would love to have had before you played Alabama, before you played a top 10 Auburn team, before you played a top 10 Florida team. All those games you would have liked to ease your new – your freshmen into, ease your new quarterbacks into, those are the games – they're all the back end of Georgia's schedule. Now you got to bust it up for Stetson Bennett. I guarantee you, if he's healthy and plays in those games, he'll probably light him up. But right now, I don't know that, but that's just how it's going to be. Anyway, before we I know Dane has something on he wants to bring up, but I'm going to jump ahead real quick and give a big shout out to our friends over at Masada Leather. I went by there the other day when I was in Five Points, just poked my head in the window. I didn't have a mask. I didn't go in. But I was looking in the window, and I'm like, I saw these fantastic bags they have over there. I saw these fantastic belts, the sandals, the shoes, and everything they're doing in there. And I'm telling you, we're into November. It's time to start thinking about holiday gifts. You need to swing by Masada Leather and Gifts in Five Points between Royal Peasant and Earth Fair and just stock up on all your holiday needs. There's a ton of great stuff in there. And, I mean, that's just from looking outside. I saw some belts and some stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to get some of that. So be sure to check with Irv and our friends out there at Masada Leather and Gifts. And also, if you're in town and you're looking to watch the game noon, be sure to check out Academia Brewing Company. They've put in a whole new big tank out there. They're actually making they're expanding their capacity to brew beer. Giant, giant brew tank out there. So they're just growing and expanding, you know, by the day. It's a great place to watch a game. They have the huge projectors up out there. Games on TV. They're not just you don't have just music and you have to read the play-by-play. You know, you can actually check out the watch along or listen to the broadcaster. So huge, huge place to watch the game. Great food, great new beers popping up all the time with our friends at Academia Brewing Company. And the cool thing is you can take a bunch of beer home with you. So, you know, stop by, get a bunch and go home and then want to watch the Falcons game on Sunday. You've got great beer with you there to help you watch the Falcons as needed. Dane, I know we were kind of going on a rip there, and you looked like you had something to say. I didn't want to cut you off, but I did want to mention our friends at Academia and Masada Leather.
Well, I just kind of want to play off Coach's point just now because a lot of the focus is going to be on Georgia's quarterbacks, and I get that, and it's probably well-deserved. And I'm not even talking for the next four games. I'm talking for the next 14 months, trying to figure out what's going on for 2021 as well. And look – people that say these next four games don't matter, that's horse hockey. I mean, first of all, there's just the pride of playing football games and having your record and for the seniors on the team and all that good stuff. But then you're talking program management, you're talking recruiting, and you're talking fan bases. You don't want to have any of those games as losses.
Lose one of them, see what happens.
Absolutely, absolutely. But my other point is, the focus is going to be on the quarterbacks, but the receiver room in terms of what you can rely on, you start I put this in our group chat yesterday. When you start projecting ahead to 2021, you're looking at Blaylock coming off of really two severe injuries and the rehabs that come with that. Now, Marcus Rosemy-Jackson, severe injury and what the recovery that comes from that. You're looking at George Pickens, who's been, you know, this year dealing with his injury. I don't know how much you know that you have to rely upon at receiver. And so as much as is going to be talked about a quarterback, there's two parts of a passing game. Quarterback can throw it, but somebody's got to catch it too. And the receivers have been in play to do that, I think, a lot of times. At least they were against Florida. Sometimes this year they haven't been. But that's a position that still needs continual work from this coaching staff, not only from a recruiting standpoint, but from a development standpoint.
And part of the reason they're open against Florida is Florida's giving up 300 yards a game pass defense wise. They should have been open. We didn't take advantage of it. We talked about the keys to the game. Georgia's got to score points against Florida. There's no question about it. That's what everybody's done. But all of a sudden they look like the Green Bay Packers against us because we can't hit them. And we get 109 yards passing against a team that's given and hasn't intercepted but one pass all year, and they get three against us.
Go ahead.
Dane, I think that there's an important name also that fits into that injury list that Georgia probably could have used in a lot of these situations this year, and I'm not saying you rely on a guy who's a freshman, but he can do some different things for you. That's Arian Smith also dealing with an injury to this point. That's a versatile weapon on your offense. That's a game breaker speed. I mean, that's a guy who can change and flip fields fast for you. So, you know, Arian, another guy that you'll have back to full strength next year, certainly. And I think that he can make a big difference.
I also want to point out that Kirby said that Kyrus Jackson's banged up. He has a hip pointer. He's fighting through that again, Peach County. Yeah, they're indestructible, but that's another guy who he's out there, but he's playing tough. I mean, playing hurt. And I thought Coach made a good point. You know, you got to target that guy more often. Again, when you don't have enough first downs, it's tough to get anybody ball as much as you'd like. But getting Kyrus back would be big. And when people say, well, what do you have to lose in these next four games? I'm like, you have four games you can lose. Lose any one of them and see how that changes the narrative of this football team. When you can say, hey, you lost the two top five teams with your, you know, Stetson Bennett instead of Jamie Newman. You know, you lost two top five teams. You had George Pickens out and you had a bunch of other guys out. That's a lot different than you lost to Missouri. You lost to Vandy. You lost to South Carolina. You know, you lost to Mississippi State. That, watch things change real fast if you lose one of them.
I wanted to – okay, so I got a question that goes into the remainder of the season. This one from Clock 11. And for Coach, be interested to hear everybody's on this, though. He says, I'll ask this simply. Coach, how would you approach the remainder of the season? Do you make wholesale changes, or would you only look to open up competition at certain positions?
No, you don't make wholesale changes because of everybody knows some of our problems because everything's out there, injury-wise, lack of depth at receiver, all that. All you got to do is point to the, to have a team meeting and say, look, this is what we got to do collectively. We've been a good kicking game, but our kicking game let us down Saturday. You know, that game's a different game without with any kind of punt at the end of the half. 17 points compared to 10. Are you kidding me? Particularly with all the plays we had, so we don't get a good punt. So our kicking game still got to be big for us defensively. We got to get off the field. Offensively, we got to convert. But you know what we're made of. We've seen what you've done in practice, but we can't afford to make these mistakes and continue to be as good as we want to be. We can still be we got a four-game season. Let's develop and then play it one game at a time and understand we're going there as a 70-man unit and everybody's got to do their job.
So from a development standpoint, though, I guess the thought is, you know, do you not rush in or necessarily platoon in and give them the opportunity, but do you think that you see an increased role for, you know, your sophomore and freshman players?
Yeah, I think it just depends on where the depth is. I mean, certainly in a D line without Davis now, you got to play those guys some. And without Rochester, it just normally that's what you got to do receiver wise for sure. Now that Rosemary's out, running back wise, Milton's been playing. Now maybe Edwards with Milton out 3 or 4 weeks with a sprained MCL, you use him. But hopefully McIntosh is coming back. There's another weapon we played without the last 2 weeks. We played without our best kick returner and our best receiver the last 2 weeks.
And arguably your best running back, Coach. I mean, I know people are big on Zamir White, but I've said Kenny Mack may be the most talented player in that
room. He's good, but, you know, and
from a versatility standpoint, he's phenomenal.
And you got to just talk about what we got, and excuses aren't great. But, no. I mean, the reality is when you start adding these things up and looking at them, it's hard to function at the level that you need to be an overpowering team. We can't be that right now. So we just got to be as good as we can be answering the question and understand that you got to readjust your goals a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe it's not the SEC championship, but maybe it's a higher bowl game and understand this is just a weird year, COVID wise, everything involved. So all you do is talk to your players in terms of reality here. This is where we are. No matter how we got here, this is where it is. This is what we got to do.
Looking at that.
Hang on a second, Jake. Before we mention that, Coach mentions it's a weird year, and I've got two things that will make your year a little bit better. One, you can hit up your local EuroPie, grab that new hot honey pepperoni pizza. It's a marinara, pepperoni, pepperdew peppers, house pickled jalapenos, feta, mozzarella, fresh basil, and then they drizzle it with that Mike's hot honey sauce. It's just phenomenal. Hit up your local EuroPie today. I know that Dane, did y'all have one some of those this past Saturday?
We did the tailgate pack, which, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe how good of a deal that was. That's six pizzas, two cheese sticks, you get 10 bags of chips, and you get to keep the like cooler bag that comes with it. So now at Thanksgiving, my family's going to be happy because I've got something to bring the food in. So this is going to be wonderful.
Well, y'all are eating that. I'm in the press box eating that crappy food in Jacksonville. Oh, that was the best.
I bet it was even worse during COVID.
Yeah, because you know how bad it is normally. I'm like, man, I had to get out of there and go hit up our friends at Burrito Gallery. I had to get out of that stadium fast. But also, if you're having issues now, especially with the weather changing, and let's say it's a little more rainy and you have some water coming into your garage area, or you have a door that gets hung up, if you have any problems with your garage door, reach out to our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors, A-A-R-O-N, Aaron Overhead Doors. If you're in Gwinnett, Stevens, Jackson County, North Fulton, Dawson, Habersham, Barrow, Cobb, DeKalb, Hall, Cherokee, Walton, Clark, Oconee, Forsyth, White, any of these places, they will take care of you. You can contact them for free. They will give you, they will come out. They don't charge anything for that. You can actually have an online chat with them. You know, just if you don't feel like picking up the phone, you're at work and you don't want people to hear that you're actually not doing work, so you can actually just go and get an online chat with them. They do commercial work. They fix your openers. They will do special projects. They do a ton of custom work. You know, you can actually have a garage door that looks good instead of some of the crappy ones you see on houses that really just kill the house, the home value. They can do any of that stuff. And Ryan Lucy, I guarantee you, will hook you up. And also, if you need any sort of other construction and you're not in the North Georgia area, let's say you're in the Liberty County, Long County, Bryan County area, reach out to DR Construction Maintenance. That's our man, Ronnie Brown. Big supporter of our program, big supporter of our show, biggest dog fan you'll ever find anywhere. So hit up DR Construction and Maintenance. DR. I don't know what it stands for, but Doctor Construction Maintenance. The DR Construction Maintenance, it's Ronnie Brown. Maybe he's the R in the DR, but be sure to hit up DR Construction Maintenance. If you're in Liberty County down there, you know, from Richland Counts area, Long County, which we know doesn't exist because it's a fake county, and then Bryan County, they will take care of you over at DR Construction Maintenance. Go ahead, Jake. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I just want to mention some of our people that are taking care of us.
Yeah, no good. No,
it's crappy year.
I will say, you know, I'm looking over Georgia's list, and we're talking about, you know, the possibility of wholesale changes, freshmen, whatever. There are a couple of names that jump off the board to me as guys that I'd like to see an expanded role for going down the road here. I think one guy that makes a lot of sense to see what you got there is Justin Robinson now. You know, 6'4", 210-pound receiver, freshman guy, not quite the same as Roseme, not quite as sure-handed, I certainly don't think, but a guy that I think, hey, maybe you see what you got. I don't know. Dejan Edwards is another guy that I think that you could probably, you know, kind of see what you got there as well. We've seen a little bit of Edwards already this year, but I think that possibly maybe a little bit expanded role.
And then, I think that Dejan is vital, Jake. I think that that's absolutely necessary because in the case that Zamir White and James Cook go pro, you're looking at Dejan being RB3 going into next year.
I think defensively, if I'm looking at a couple of guys, you know, we've mentioned Monty Rice kind of playing on that banged up wheel. Mikel Sherman's a guy who I think who makes a lot of sense. MJ Sherman, the lone linebacker you brought in that class last year, a guy who's played some, I know sparingly, but has been out there. And then the other guy I think would be Jalen Kimber. I think, you know, we've heard a lot of rave reviews about him. I think possibly an expanded role for him moving down the list. But I think that, you know, you've got an opportunity here not to make wholesale changes, but to get some live game reps for some of these talented young guys that you brought in that last class that was another number one class.
Let me ask you this. Let's just send a Western Union to Dan Mullen and say, hey, Dan, how would you like to play against Georgia's secondary without their two safeties?
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Let's say you're going to play without the two safeties. You're going to – one of them that goes out there is going to get hurt. You get major burns, knocked around. You haven't seen – you talk about guys that – and, Jake, I thought you had a great list there. And maybe these aren't guys you want to bring in now, but, you know, you got 2 5-star offensive tackles we haven't seen pretty much at all. And where's Keely Ringo? You're injured. You know, another guy that you'd like to see out there. So I know a lot of people are down and they're like, oh, well, you know, injuries are just excuses. Well, it's not just that. You at some places you're really loaded, and some guys. I mean, I don't know that Keely Ringo would have made a difference Saturday, but it sure wouldn't have hurt.
And all this can be fun talk, but you got to win the damn game. And I'll tell you, Missouri at 11 o'clock local time, could be a little cold, could be a little rainy, not sure. Not going to be an easy task. Missouri has been a solid football team. So don't think that that's a walk in the park and you can throw your freshman in there just for experience. You got to go win the damn game.
No. It's doesn't matter. You just got to prepare for next year. Just put everybody – the next four games are just scrimmages. That I've been told that pretty succinctly multiple times this morning, you know. So whatever it does to get ready for next year, and you can take all your seniors out, you can take all your juniors out, and you play the freshmen to find out what you have, because apparently you never find out what you have in practice.
Sure. We did get a
coach. What do you think of Missouri, Coach? What have you seen?
Yeah, I've been surprised how good they played, particularly against Kentucky. Kept the ball away from them, and the way they pounded the ball. You know, they're a solid defensive team, very good against the run. And, you know, a team is you're not going to beat itself. You got to go out there and beat them. I mean, you know, very much like Kentucky type team. But they did beat Kentucky because they kept the ball away from him. But, you know, I think without question, you're going to have to throw the ball effectively to beat this team because they're going to gang up on the run. And I think we can do that. We could have done it last week.
You're right. Hit us up with some more questions, Jake.
All right. Let's see. We got one here. A couple of recruiting questions. Smyrna Dog 97 says, why does Georgia struggle to recruit elite difference makers at receiver? Pickens is the only first-round receiver on the team right now. Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma have those guys all the time. Where is the disconnect? I think that of the teams you just mentioned, Alabama and LSU, I think it's pretty apparent why they're probably able to pull those guys. And LSU, even in years past when they weren't necessarily national champions, such a plethora of talent in state, and they very rarely miss on those guys. So, you know, there's a distinct advantage there. Alabama, that should be no shock to anybody why they're able to do it. I think one of the things that's holding Georgia back in that regard is the lack of production in terms of the draft. I mean, it's not like Georgia sent a lot of guys out who have gone and flourished there. Now, you're going to start feeling, I think, the long-term effects of a guy like Mecole Hardman moving into the next class. You know, kids have been able now to take that in. They've kind of grown up seeing how he can be used, and they can say, oh, well, that's a weapon that I can be. I think that that's a big advantage for you. I think George Pickens, you know, based on his draft position, he's going to be a guy who goes high in the draft. When he goes, that's going to help your stock as well. So I think you're going to kind of balance all of that out to a degree. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be there right now, but it's about really at this point, it's about NFL production. That's the number one thing any kid cares about right now, regardless of what anybody wants to say and amateurism and, you know, pulling it together for the old home state. Kids want to go play in the league. They want to make the money. They're looking at that first. And then I think after that, they're looking at the ability to get the ball in their hands a lot. And you've seen even with George Pickens when he was healthy this year, Georgia wasn't exactly going to him all the time. They weren't necessarily feeding the beast. Guys want to know that they're coming into a situation where they're going to get those opportunities. Georgia is still blocking a lot at wide receiver. They're still using those guys in a lot of ways. And I think that that prepares you well for the league. And I think it puts you in a good position, but it's not the flash that you're seeing with LSU and Alabama and Oklahoma.
Yeah. Let me point this out here too. You know, last year we were trying to recruit Xavier Henderson, the wide receiver from Florida who played for them Saturday. If people look at that game, when we intercepted that pass that Stokes intercepted, they're trying to throw the ball to another receiver, but he runs the wrong route. And so Stokes steps in front of that guy and gets the interception. That's what happens when you play a young receiver. Sometimes they make those kind of mistakes, and it was costly to Florida and helped us out. But you just can't plug them in and expect them to do everything right. That was a critical error by Henderson. Did you see that, Dane, on the film, Don't Lie, that he ran the wrong route and made Stokes available to get that interception?
We saw that a couple times from Florida where Kyle Trask even threw a ball to one guy. Another Florida player went and snagged it from there. So, I mean,
they're both wide open.
They were crossed up a couple of times on things like that.
Yeah, but I think Jake made a good point there about, you know, until we get – now we've lost Ridley and Hardman and those guys to the NFL and Godwin and those guys, Holloman gets kicked off. I mean, some of these other guys got to start surfacing. I think Burton will down the road, Arian Smith will. But, you know, people are going to use that against you in recruiting, that's for sure. But it's just hard when you're on pins and needles trying to win games like we've been all year long to play a young guy unless you don't have anybody else. And we didn't have anybody. That's when Burton and Rosemead jumped in there and they did okay.
Yeah, pedigree matters at those positions. And it's the same thing. It's why we talked about, you know, 2 and 3 years ago, why is Georgia struggling to recruit elite defensive linemen? Well, how big of a difference has it made in your recruiting that a guy like Jordan Davis has taken the turn that he is and is on the trajectory that he is? Suddenly you've got guys that are kind of lining up back there and looking like really good players that want to play in that defensive front because they've seen what Trey Scott's been able to do with him and how he's been able to develop him and put him in a really good position for the next level.
And the people that the point that Roddy made and Dane made about elite offenses, you go back to Alabama last year, when they lost all those defensive players, whether it's through going to the pros or getting hurt, they had to have any chance last year. They had to outscore people because their defense was easily the worst it's ever been in Alabama history. Gave up over 40 points to LSU, to Auburn, to all these teams. Kind of like what we're doing when they had four guys out. They had four starters out on their defense last year. We had four starters out Saturday. Five when you add the other kid during the game when we lose the other safety. So it's just hard to plug all those guys in and be as efficient, but still you ought to be able to defend better than we did, that's for sure.
And if it was so easy to get four first-round wide receiver talents on the same roster like Alabama has done, I think more teams would do it. It's hard, man. It is very difficult to find a group of wide receivers like that.
And you've missed.
Look at the pedigree, though. Alabama's got Julio Jones, premier wide receiver in the league, all over TV, all the time, all the endorsement deals. Amari Cooper, a guy – this is going back now, you know, 8-10 years into the Nick Saban era where these kids are saying, you know, I grew up from 6 years old watching Julio Jones out there making plays. I know that Julio Jones went to Alabama. They mention it every time he's on TV. That Georgia doesn't have that guy in the league. It's not like you're seeing a lot, especially in the Atlanta market. It's not like you're seeing a lot of Cincinnati Bengals games. And if you are, you're seeing Andy Dalton out there, you know, ducking it to AJ Green for the most part. So it's not as sexy. It's not as appealing. And guys don't have that background, I think. And like I said, pedigree at these positions, those big money positions is kind of everything.
Yeah. And then some of your evaluations have been wrong. You expected more out of Trey Blunt, expected more out of Mekhi Tong, expected more out of, Tommy Bush, you expected more out of Matt Landers, and those have not panned out like you wanted, you know. So when you lose your George Pickens, you put a true freshman, Marcus Rosemead Jackson out there for 58 snaps against Kentucky. And then that starts to look good against Florida, and then he's out for the game. And then you've had to play the heck out of Jermaine Burton when teams are doubling up Kyrus Jackson or they're doubling up Pickens and they're shading over towards Kyrus Jackson. So the only guy that's really open is true freshman Jermaine Burton, who's not making catches. So it's but again, why should you have to rely on him? You had Dom Blaylock, he goes down, that's tough, but it's there's this kind of gap between your upper level guys and then, I mean, your freshmen and sophomores are the ones doing all the heavy lifting. You got some seniors and juniors who just did not pan out and just missed.
Well, that's true, but three of our youngest receivers, Blaylock, Smith, and now Rosemead Jackson, all out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard.
Yeah, and Rosemead was a guy who, I was so excited to see him catch that touchdown because I was like, finally, you know, this kid has been breaking through. He's been making some little chips away at it, and it felt like he was really coming into his own. And then as they snap him like a noodle. So, I mean, it was horrible to see, but you know, you had a kid who was just on the brink of maybe taking that step and being that guy, you know, away from a George Pickens in this offense. And I think that, you know, that probably cost Georgia, set him back a little bit probably in the wide receiver recruiting.
I want to say thank you to Sam the Seed in YouTube for the super chat. Appreciate that. He made a Justin Fields comment, and that's a conversation that we might not want to have right now because I think that's been asked a few times. But well, thank you for the super chat, Sam the Seed.
Since we're here nearing the end, let's get into Missouri. Mouth-watering players. Obviously, look, I mean, like Dane said, there's some contingency factors. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the two rosters, there's a bunch of kids Missouri recruited on Georgia's roster. There's not a lot of kids Georgia recruited on Missouri's roster. So the talent gap is pretty significant. But in order to win against the Tigers, who's got to be the guy that steps up? Who's got to be out there making the plays? Dane, we'll start with you. Roddy, I'll go then, and then we'll wrap it up with Coach.
My mouth-watering player is Kevin Kisner. Masters at the same time. Maybe he'll have an early tee time and can get off the course and watch Georgia, because I know it's probably what he'd rather be doing. You know, overall, I think you got to have someone step up in Georgia's secondary in some of the roaming and trying to – because Missouri's going to see what Florida did and try to repeat it, right? So I'm going to go with Mark Webb, and I think he's probably got a little sour taste in his mouth from that pick six that should have been.
All right, Roddy, who you got?
Well, if they're going to load the box and take away the run and say, look, we don't know that you can beat us through the air, I'm thinking, okay. Georgia's going to say, I think we can throw and catch. We're going to work on it all week. At that point, let's pick a wide receiver who's going to be the guy. You hope that George Pickens is back out there. If he is, I think he can absolutely just move up and down the field. But I'm going to go with Kyaris Jackson, because I believe that if they're – watching out for Pickens, I think that frees up Kyaris to just do what Kyaris does and make a lot of people miss the catch passes and move the chains.
I'm going to stick on the offensive side of the ball as well. I think that a guy that could really be effective this week, especially as you're possibly breaking in, you know, your third new quarterback of the year, is those tight ends. And they didn't do many favors for you last week, but Darnell Washington has made some key plays. I could see him being a weapon, especially if JT Daniels ends up being the guy, a big, big safety blanket to have out there, just kind of roaming around in the open flats. And I mean, look, there's not many guys that are going to be able to sky with him. So Darnell, I think, could be a big week for him. Coach, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with JT Daniels just because – I feel like he's going to get a shot and he's going to be ready to make it happen. I think it's he's definitely been working hard. I like the fact he went out there and tried to work against our defense to try to get himself ready when he knew he couldn't be in the mix. And he asked to do that. He's had a good attitude and he deserves a shot. And I'm not saying he's going to get the shot, but I say if he does, I think he'll be the mouth-watering guy.
I like it. I think Georgia fans would love to see it. Or maybe hate to see it. I don't know. It's hard to gauge that right now at this point. I don't know how
they want to see him since they arrived on campus.
I want to say one last thing here, and then you can let me go for the day. If anybody starts saying, well, you know, Kirby, I told you so. I told you, do you really think he would have played the guy if he thought he was the best chance to win? Of course he would. So – but everything's working out good for JT from a standpoint, like Roddy said, who we're getting ready to play and all that. But he wasn't ready to play to win the job. And then when he was ready to play, the job had already been won. So Kirby didn't do anything wrong here. I mean, come on, be fair. I mean, he should catch some crap about the way things happen on our defense and all these other things. But as far as what's happened on the quarterbacks, I can't see it.
And I will say, this is my last point for the day. Dash wrote a great column and it really struck with me. It's been, I think the column of the year so far was, you either trust Kirby Smart or you don't. And if you don't trust Kirby Smart to make those decisions, you've got a lot bigger problem than the quarterback position this year. If you think that he's playing guys out of favoritism, out of loyalty, et cetera, that's a lot bigger scope problem that you have. In his view for the future of this team. So, you know, it kind of, that's what it boils down to, I think.
0 minutes. We've seen 0 minutes of practice. Media, fans, we've seen a few hype videos, but we've seen 0 minutes of practice this year. And even then, even if we do get to see practice, we don't get to see them throwing offense versus defense. We get to see them throwing, you know, quarterbacks to wide receivers, basically
airs,
they're just running routes, you know, same thing. And I think Kirby could have handled this from a PR standpoint better. When he says that, hey, this kid's cleared, he can say, but he's still working through some knee issues. You know, the other two guys, as where it stands now, they're ahead because they have more mobility. We're hoping to get JT back into it. But when he keeps insisting that he's cleared and he's healthy and, you know, the other two give you a better chance, people take that as he's siding with those two over a healthy JT Daniels. That's my only point. I think he would have been now. If everyone thought, hey, finally this kid is healthy enough to go this week, you know, or last week, and or he's finally healthy now, I think people would be a lot more excited than going, well, where the hell was he 2 weeks ago? I just think that's the way it could have been approached, and people would have.
He was trying to win the job.
Well, I know. I'm just saying it's.
Let them say what they want to. Say what they want to. Get on the vent and type it up.
But now I'm sure they will. That's why you got to go to the dog vent. That's why you got to go to UGASports.com and check it out.
I heard George Pickens was gone till I read, I read where you said he wasn't. So I'm glad he is. So.
That's why you go to the dog vent. You get the actual breaking news. You get a lot of opinions. A lot of people. That's the greatest community in the history of college football, in my opinion. Well, that's not even my opinion. It's just pure fact. It's the greatest community. A lot of great comments over there. But there's also breaking news of the dog vent, and you need to check it out. 27 cents a day at UGASports.com. Anyway, we will be back next Tuesday to talk more Georgia versus Missouri and look ahead to the games coming up after that. But before you hit that one, I want you everyone to tune in Thursday at 1 o'clock on this same YouTube channel. Check out Around the League as Coach Don and Dane Young and Brent break down all the other games in the SEC. I'm sure they'll talk a little Georgia, Missouri, but they'll also have every other contest. I listened to that on my way to speak at the Jacksonville Bulldog Club last Thursday. Learned a lot about what was going to happen in a kind of a lighter SEC schedule. This week, though, of course, one game's already been canceled, but a lot of stuff for those guys to talk about this Thursday, 1 o'clock. Be sure to tune in to Coach Don and Brent and Dane as they break down Around the League, and then check out our show next Tuesday at noon. All right. We will talk to you folks later.